Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about education this morning, learning enhancement centers, and the Marshall School. Christina Carson is here this morning. Christina, I have really been looking forward to this. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Ted. Thank you for having me.
If you go to the learningenhancementcenters.com, the website, you don't have to look there very long. For me, it took about a minute just to see your passion for education. This is really important to you,
yes.
And this is really what you do. It's a mission.
Yes, absolutely. I started learning about education, I think I might share this with you before, but when I was in high school and I got to help a teacher in my elementary school and started to learn about learning disabilities and just had such a passion for students who learn differently, who struggle.
Yeah.
I'm kind of always the person for the underdog, actually. And so it was just such an eye-opener to see ways and to start to learn about kids who learn differently. And then I started, went to college. That's why I studied in college. And then when I was, it was hard. That's what the thing that you read is kind of my letter to parents. And I think most parents really understand. If
yes.
you have a child who struggles, you get it. We're blessed. I feel really blessed for the schools that we have here in our area. We have great educational opportunities for our kids in public school. But if you have a child who struggles, and my last year of teaching was middle school, and I had 17 students in sixth grade that were reading between a kindergarten and a fourth grade level. And most parents are shocked to hear that kids are reading that low and that they're still just being moved through.
Yeah.
But if you're eligible, if you're found eligible to that you're having a learning disability or you know, dyslexia, those types of things, sometimes the assumption is, well, that's how they are, that's how they'll always be. So we accommodate and we modify the curriculum so that they can still learn the information for their SOLs. But I got really frustrated that they were studying, they were spending all of their time working to pass an SOL, but they couldn't read. So I was reading their tests to them, and they were passing their tests, but they weren't reading it on their own. And it just didn't make sense to me. My husband will share that if you ever talk with him, he'll talk about that year I came home crying almost daily because I kept saying, I'm not going to go with them. Like, I have this year, and I'm not going with them someday when they go to get their driver's license or apply for a job. And wouldn't it make more sense if we taught them how to read than spending all of this time trying to, like, stuff this information down their throats that they're going to test for? So that led me down the path. I found a company that shared that information, that the way that the brain processes. And they were saying that if a learning disability is caused by a processing issue, why can't we train the brain? We know with traumatic brain injuries, stroke victims, any of those types of things, we go back and do those types of things.
Yeah.
And why couldn't we do that for kids with learning challenges? And so that's what we do. We train the brain to pay attention, to remember better, to process easier, more efficient, and then it's way easier to get them to learn.
Well, and I think when you do go to learningenhancementcenters.com and see that letter, like you say, if you've got a child or you know of children that are struggling, it does catch you because mm-hmm. you can relate to all of that, mm-hmm. and sometimes it just seems so hopeless.
Yeah.
At times that sometimes you're lucky enough and maybe you find a tutor or maybe you find somebody that's got that passion, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always work that way.
And you know, it's not something that's taught still. When I started the center 17 years ago, I thought, well, gosh, in a couple of years, you know, schools will catch up to what we're doing because it makes so much sense. Figure out what's causing the problem, correct
yeah.
that part, strengthen those areas in the brain, and then remediate. But unfortunately, you know, that's still not what they're being taught. I have sometimes employees that are getting their master's in special education that work, you know, they're working for me, and they're still learning how to modify and accommodate. They are not learning the brain-based strategies and how to remediate. And I mean, part of that is the mandate of the schools. How they're going to be measured is whether the kids pass their SOLs. And so, you know, so I feel bad. I feel bad. Sometimes I think I'd really love to go back and work in the school systems. I think I could make a huge difference. And then I think, man, I would be miserable. My hands would be tied. And I would know there was something more I could do and I wouldn't have time to do it.
Well, and you're doing a lot right now, right? with the number of kids that you're working through. And we'll talk about that. And then the Marshall School has this taken off to levels and heights that you never even dreamed of?
Yes, it's funny. I thought I would just start this little business on the side. I was still teaching full time. We have five children, and I had two nephews that lived with us at one point as well. So we're a super busy family. Yeah. And I just thought I was just going to do this little tutoring thing. And before I even opened my doors, that was in 2002. Before I even opened my doors, we had to move to a larger space because we had so many students. And so I ended up resigning after that year. And then a couple years later, we opened the school. And so, yes, that keeps me very busy as well between the two of them. So we have the tutoring center as well as the school.
Well, it does show you that there is there's just the need in this area for what you're providing.
Right. And that is a huge issue. The school can sometimes for years can be overwhelming. It is a huge responsibility. But there's nothing. There are no schools that do what we do in the area. You know, there are schools in Richmond and D.C. There's one in Charlottesville that's more of a boarding school. A lot of times it's a two-year waiting list. They're $50,000 or $60,000 a year. We do have other alternative schools in the area, but they predominantly serve students with severe behavior, emotional issues, or autism. And so to have a school that specializes in students with learning disabilities, dyslexia, attention deficit, we have a whole bunch of dually exceptional, meaning they probably struggle with attention, but they're gifted, or executive function skills. So they're planning their organization. They know the information, but they're struggling with that time management organization that we get to serve every day is pretty cool.
I guess this is the time if families are checking in and looking for options and wanting to sign up, this would be the time to do it.
For both. So the school is funny. We do a rolling admission. So we still have some spaces available for the school year. And then even for the tutoring center, this year feels like a really short summer. It was, you know, Spotsy has a little longer one because they started earlier last year. But with Stafford
and
Fredericksburg City, man. So, and we were closed last week for the 4th. So getting back, we're doing at the center, the tutoring center. I mean, we're testing and getting kids started right away to try to get as much done for these next 4 weeks before school starts.
I guess the best way to find out information, go to learningenhancementcenters.com, and that really gives you a really good...
Yeah, because there's a link for the Marshall School there as well. So, yeah, either that works.
Well, we're going to talk more in detail about all of that this morning. Christina Carson is here from Learning Enhancement Centers and the Marshall School. We need to take a break. We will be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Christina Carson here this morning from Learning Enhancement Centers. We're going to get into a lot of what they're involved with. I guess a lot of parents who deal with this, one of the first things in schools that we'll talk about evaluations that the schools give, but also talk about how Learning Enhancement Centers. If I bring my child in, and I guess the first thing you do is an evaluation.
Right. So in the school system, first of all, like if your child's struggling, they you can request testing, right, to see if there's an underlying issue that's causing this learning challenge. In that situation, typically the schools are pressured to not do the testing right away. They are, they need to prove that they have, maybe they've done accommodations or modifications. If they, and they put them in writing, if those modifications are working, then they say, well, gosh, that's all they need. And they will say, yeah. So they write a plan and that follows the student, but they're not, you know, so they'll postpone the testing. If they have been trying multiple things and it's not working, then that's when they'll go and they'll do more specialized type of testing. And in that testing, it's an IQ test. It is academic testing. You're looking at behavioral types of things. So you're looking at all of those areas and they're trying to decide, does the child qualify? So they look typically to qualify with a learning disability. There needs to be a discrepancy between the intelligence and where they're performing. So if you have an average to high average IQ, your academics should be average to high average. So if you're average IQ, but you're performing below average, we say, gosh, this doesn't make sense. This child has the intelligence. Why are they not doing well? And if it is enough of a gap, then we say it's a learning disability. Okay. So the problem is sometimes, and when I went to college, it was based more on years. So if you were performing more than 2 years behind, you would qualify for services. So what if you were a year and a half behind? Mm. They would say, well, hey, that's still within range. We expect that. And so therefore they don't qualify. So sometimes parents would come in and say, well, we had them tested, but the school says there's nothing wrong. And I have to sit down and say, well, actually, there is this deficit. It's just not enough. And now they do it more on a point scale. Well, they've switched. So there's a couple ways. One is a point scale. So they would be looking for a difference of 23 points. And I have seen students that have 22 points difference between their IQ and their achievement, and they don't qualify. Hmm. And you're like, oh, they need the help.
Yeah.
The other thing nowadays is they are required to show that the learning issues are related to a processing issue, which is really similar to what we do. The problem is they get that information and say they qualify, and then they write their goals for what the student is going to be receiving based on, well, we're going to work on the reading. And I'm like, but correct what's causing the problem. And so they know, like I was just reading through, we have a new student at the center who has a special education program through the school. It's called an individualized education plan, IEP. So he was just recently diagnosed. They literally show that it's related to how his brain is thinking about what he's hearing. It's an auditory or phonemic processing issue. That it's written right in the report, and yet all of the goals are related to reading, which is great. But the reason why he's struggling to read is this processing issue. If you don't credit the processing issue, you're still going to struggle with the reading. Right?
Boy, and it just, I guess, as time goes on, it just compounds itself.
And typically, when you're found eligible for special education, it's a terminal diagnosis. You're probably staying in special ed your whole way through. And that's not how it was designed to be. And that was, you know, that's part of the issue, you know, just with them. They're kind of stuck. And then the other thing, there's this push, and I so get it. I really, really do get it. Like, we want to keep the students in the regular class as much as possible, but the reason why they're qualifying for, they have a learning disability, and therefore we're saying they need a specialized program to help them catch up. How are they supposed to receive that specialized program in the general education classroom? Yeah. At least in reading and math, I feel like most of them require a systematic, explicit phonics type of program to learn how to read, but there's not time for them to get that when they're still in the general education classroom trying to keep up with all of that too. So it's like, in my mind, it feels like I'm a really common sense person. Like, can we figure out, like, could we pull them and really, like, intensively give them this specialized reading program that they qualify for because they have a learning disability, and then keep pushing them into the classroom to work on those skills as well? There has to be a way to do that versus we're just going to keep you in the classroom, maybe read a lower level book, but how, there's no specialized teaching in that met.
Yeah. Well, and as you are, you're so common sense sometimes. It's that's what's fun talking to you. It is. It's so common sense. And Christina, do you run into the situation where, especially for the students that might be, you know, close, mm-hmm. but as years and as grade levels go on, I would guess that they don't always probably stay that close in that they continue to fall farther behind.
Sometimes, or they're just always like that year and a half behind.
Oh, okay.
Until they're struggling. It just depends on the student. Sometimes, like if you have that, some of my students that I've taught in the past that have that personality to still keep persevering, I think they can continue to work for the, you know, it's a much harder work for them, but they can, versus some of the others that don't have that or it feels too frustrating, you know. And I shared that with you previously. It's not that they're not motivated. You know, if I told you to go outside and if you hit your head through the brick wall, I've shared this one, you know, and I'll mm-hmm. pay you $1 million. Well, you're motivated.
Sure.
But how many times do you hit your head before you say, it's too much, I can't do it? And so that's where I think then they fall further, you know. And the frustration, like I said, or spending hours and hours just getting them to memorize or to be able to pass that thinking test.
Yeah.
So that, but then they get out and they can't read or they don't know their math skills and they haven't learned any other skill to support them when they get out in the real world. It's a scary thing for me. That does drive me, really drives me just personally, like, how do we help these students get the skills that they need, the really important skills, so that they can be successful?
So it sounds like reading and writing. Those are your main bread and butter mm-hmm. ones that they get the specialized, you really work with them on.
Because if you can read and write and do math, especially in this day and age with Google, I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
But if you can't read that information or you don't know where to search it out or you haven't been taught how to think about the information, like what good is having all of that information? And most of the time they've memorized it and now we've moved on. And the big one for me with math in particular, you know, we've talked about in building a house. I don't know where we are in time, but if you built a house and the foundation was 70% done, no one would say, oh, it's 70% complete. Go ahead and keep building. They would say, you need to finish this,
yeah.
right? But in our, in our education system,
yeah.
especially most of the SORLs are between 50 and 70%. If you get between, depending, like it used to be the biology used to be, you had to know 52% to pass. Okay, so math, generally 70%. So if you got a 70%, there's still 30% you didn't learn, but it's good enough for us to move on. And if you talk, man, my one that drives me a lot insane right now is third grade teachers will frequently say, I have 2 weeks to teach multiplication.
Two weeks
to teach division because we have to get through to the next thing. But not everybody learns on that same pace. We don't look at a baby and say, you're 1 year old, time to walk today.
Right.
Right. Let's go. So you're 1 year old. But in everything else in our education society, you're 5. It's time to go to kindergarten. Now you're in first grade. We have to learn this. You're in second. And everybody, but they're not everybody paces that same way.
Yeah.
So why, like developmentally and all of the things we know about child development, why then are we shoving that down all, you know? And so kids get frustrated and think they can't do it, but that's not the case. They just didn't get all the foundational stuff they needed to then build upon all the other things. So that's a big, like, you could put me on a soapbox and talk about that for days.
I can imagine that when you talked about the last year of teaching, how you came home and cried every night, I can see that you by then, I mean, you had, did you notice all of this early on in teaching that some of this, or did this come over from years?
Definitely over years, but you know, I taught my background. I have a degree in elementary education and special education, but I've always taught special education. I set up the first inclusion model in the school that I worked at, so my students had always been self-contained, which I liked having them with me for reading and math,
yeah.
but I wanted them to get out for history and science. But a lot of the general education teachers didn't want them in their classrooms because they felt like they didn't know what to do. So I went in and co-taught and showed them and helped and got my students to be able to do that. I definitely am like a see where something's going on and how can I make it better kind of person. And so I, But the benefit back then in the late 90s, middle 90s, was I could kind of close my door and teach because I was a special education teacher. So I, like, when I first started teaching, we were doing something more called, like, whole language versus I could take the time to go back and really teach my kids phonics. I was able to go and get trained in a couple specialized reading programs and apply those with my students. So I have – but just as I've continued on through the years – you just, yeah, you definitely see it. And I had five kids that went through school, you know, so that makes a big difference too. I saw a lot of the things that were happening, and lots of good things happen in public school. So we are blessed to live in a nation that educates everybody. You know, lots of countries don't do that. We are blessed that everyone gets educated. So their hands are tied frequently, and it's nice to be able to do things the way that I think makes the most sense.
Well, and I think it's good that you say that you always come back around to that we are lucky to have the schools that,
oh
that we have.
Especially in our area. I just feel like we have a really great school system here. So
someday, have you ever thought about writing a book?
Yes. Yes, I have.
It would be a bestseller.
Thank you.
And someday there's going to be a movie made of Learning Enhancement Centers. There is just a really a lot of good stuff here. Christina Carson with us this morning. LearningEnhancementCenters.com is the website. The Learning Enhancement Centers over on Heatherstone Drive over by BJ's is where the tutoring all takes place. The Marshall School is over by Salem Church Library.
Yeah.
More coming up. We have much more to talk about with Christina Carson, Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
Christina Carson with us this morning. The Learning Enhancement Centers and the Marshall School are focus. Find out more, learningenhancementcenters.com is where you can find out lots of information, learningenhancementcenters.com. So we were talking about the evaluations that the school gets, that the schools do. When they come to you, I'm guessing that you have your own kind
right.
of evaluations.
So I cannot do an IQ test. Only a psychologist can do an IQ test, but we can do a processing skills test. So processing skills are the underlying skills that you need to make learning easier. So your memory, your attention, how quickly you can think about information, how you think about what you see and what you hear. So that's visual processing, auditory processing, your reasoning. So when we do our testing, we're looking at all of those pieces. We look at fine and gross motor. If you have me back another time, I'll explain about some of the things that happen when they're babies, the developmental, the reflexes
okay.
that can impact learning if you don't address them, if they're still present and they shouldn't be. We also look at visual efficiency. So not can you see the letters on the wall, but how are your eyes working together to focus and to process that information? And then we look at the academics. So basically, I'm trying to look at the whole entire child and figure out, is it breaking down? If so, where? So then we know what we need to do to fix it. So if you have a memory issue and we're still trying to teach you how to read, if you haven't corrected the memory issue, you're probably going to continue to need a tutor forever, right?
Yeah.
Or like when the government did this huge study, and well, it's been a long time ago now, but they did this huge study to determine why do people struggle to learn how to read. The number one indicator was phonemic awareness, was processing how you think about the sounds. And so we get this information, and yet then we try to teach the kids phonics, but their brain isn't processing the sounds. So we do specific brain training exercises to train their brain to process and to strengthen how they are thinking about what they're hearing. And then when we teach them the phonics, it sticks. So our average student and about 40 hours of sessions, we usually get about 2 years gain in reading, which is really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you know, what's funny is for years, because we see it all the time, you start to kind of think, well, that's just normal. And then you realize like, oh my gosh, wait a second. Like most people do not get that kind of gain, you know, in 2 years. And 2 years gain in 40 hours of sessions. So it seems like it would take us longer because we usually spend the first almost 20 hours of students with time with students, maybe not that long, just training their brain to process and then going. So the big difference I think is A, I cannot give a diagnosis because only the psychologist can do that or the doctor. But I can at least tell you, is it breaking down? If so, where? And now how do we fix it? And most parents, that's what they want. They need the plan. Once we have a plan, do you feel like, now I know what to do? If you get testing at the school, or even a lot of times parents will go to an outside psychologist, the psychologist will write the report and give you the diagnosis. Your child has dyslexia. Here's your report. And you're kind of stuck. Where do I go next?
Right. I was going to say, what would I do?
Right. So that part is, again, kind of hard for parents. And you know, again, even I will frequently see reports that will say, you know, a systematic explicit phonics program. And I'm like, yes, that is what they need. But before you do that, can we correct this other piece first? So that's kind of... At one point, I thought about going back and becoming a psychologist because I was like, man, then I could actually give them the next step of that. So that's kind of that's the main difference, I would say. But for most parents, unless you need that formal diagnosis to get like more services from the school, and typically I'm able to share that with parents too. I do that. I try to always say this humbly, but I feel like that is a gifting that I have is a spirit of discernment. But to understand and to look at, okay, looking at this person, now what is the best, most efficient way to help them? And parents are sometimes shocked when I will send them someplace else. Well, I'll say, I think they need to do this first, or I think you need to do this. Or I can go in and help them if they need some, like a little more at the school sometimes to help. But most parents just need to know what's going on and how do I make it better.
Yeah, no, that, you know, for sure. And I like the fact that you whether, you know, the brain training programs, it's all incorporated, that it's not just let's work on reading and writing,
right.
that you've melded the two together.
So I love word pictures or analogies, but I used to say if you went to the doctor and you said my foot is hurting and he gives you morphine or gives you a shot of morphine, that might take away the pain for a while. But if he would just look and realize you stepped on a nail and we need to take the nail out and then do the treatment, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So it's like that's the same thing educationally, like, okay, but what's causing it and treat it. And that is just literally who I am at the core of my being, from parenting to medicine to education, like figure out why and now help it.
That's what's fantastic talking with you. You have these illustrations that are just like, well, of course, and you're able then to make it. And
right.
I think that's what it must be. I can't imagine the feeling that you and your staff have when someone comes in and after the 40 hours or even more, you all of a sudden see, you know, we're really making a difference.
Right. Because you'd be surprised at how many I get that are reading 4 and 5 years below grade level or are struggling in those areas.
Wow.
So sometimes it does take longer,
you
know. But still, it's still really – it is really – it's hope-giving. It is exciting. It is fun. And I do. My staff is amazing in the way that they – you know, they're the ones that are delivering the services, that are working with the students. And I'm really blessed in that way too.
Christina Carson, Learning Enhancement Centers here on News Talk 1230 WFEA this morning. LearningEnhancementCenters.com for more information. So I am guessing that with the tutoring aspect and that all of a sudden you started having people that, you know, I want more. And that's where the Marshall School came from and came in.
I laugh. It's really the truth. I am a fire, ready, aim kind of person. So I think you probably are feeling that about me, right? Like, we got to fix this and now let's do it. And so.
Again, a very descriptive way. Then all of a sudden you think about it for a second and you think, yeah, I can see that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Let's start a school. That was kind of what happened, right? You know, so God love that people just are like, yes, let's do it with you. So probably my second year, maybe my third year of having the tutoring center, I was having one student in particular really sticks out to me, fifth grader, who was struggling to read, was probably reading at like a second or third grade level. And she was coming to us for tutoring, but then we're not like a regular tutor that's helping your child do their schoolwork. We're like an extra activity, a gymnastics class or, sport, because you're coming to us and then we're asking you to practice these brain training exercises at home, doing that, different types of things. So in her case, she was struggling to find the time to work with our stuff to help catch her up. And then literally she was a fifth grader, so studying and memorizing for her history and science SOL. And I was like, man, if I could just have her for a year or two, catch up her reading, get her where she needs to be, then we could send her back and she could be successful at school. That would be a really awesome thing. And so, yep, that was pretty much like, I was like, now we need to start school. And we had 7 students that first year, and it was wonderful. And for a long time, we had that model of stay with us for a year or two, catch up and go back. And then we started having, particularly in the last number of years. So we used to only be like through eighth grade. And then we started having some high schoolers and parents that were saying, we really like the way you do things. Our child continues to grow with you. And would you continue? Would you be willing to continue? So again, fire ready, aim, let's add to high school. So now we have all the grades up through 12th grade. This year we had 4 that graduated from us. And I had a really amazing, she's still with me, employee who said, Christina, we're really good with what we do. And, we really should go ahead and be a full school. So that's kind of what happened in the last couple of years. She kind of gave me the push.
Yeah.
And last year we separated the tutoring center and the school. And so 2 completely different entities. We're still pretty tied. The things that students get at the tutoring center, our school students get in there every day. So they get pulled out. They get one-on-one. They get the brain training as long as they need it. And then we're a small school, just all of those things. So that's kind of what pushed us to start the school and like the students that just needed, but there are just, and now I'm just really compelled to continue the school, obviously. Things I feel like make us really special, like I said, getting that one-on-one to really help remediate, that's different than what they can get in a special education setting currently in our public school systems. I mentioned we're the only private school in the area that really works with our population of students. We are really good, again, humbly, with the social emotional part of your child. Our first 30 minutes of every day is spent working on social skills, mindset, expected, unexpected behaviors, size of the problem. Sometimes our kids get a little overwhelmed and they overreact. Working on the mindset, I can do this, handling stress. And like I said, we have a really diverse, the new popular word is called neurodivergent students. And I'm always like, can I just tell you, it's kids that need things differently, right?
Yeah.
But we have a lot with anxiety. We have a ton of high school girls with anxiety. And so it does affect them academically, but once we calm that down, it's much easier. And so we work with them on strategies on how to handle the anxiety and then still be successful. The social skills. We have a number of gifted, I think I shared that, gifted students that have executive function skills. Time management, organization is a mess for them, but man, they're intelligent and they get it. They get it at this higher level. And then we have the dyslexia and sometimes some of the higher functioning autistic students. So we have this wide range of students, but really it's just, again, looking at each student, what's happening and how can we best meet their needs.
Well, and again, we go back to you just provide such hope. And you've you've been able to broaden things, and you've seen that, like you said, that what you do works, and you are really good at what you do, and there's the proof for the students that you have.
Thank you for saying that.
LearningEnhancementCenters.com is the website, LearningEnhancementCenters.com. Christina Carson is here. I also noticed on the website that you offer homeschool support.
We do, yeah. So we work with quite a few homeschoolers. You know, some homeschoolers are homeschooling, obviously, for religious purposes. And then you have a whole another group that they feel like the school system doesn't meet their needs because their child is advanced. But my kind of group is the ones that are struggling. And I love having the homeschoolers because, again, I'm not competing with their school all day.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if I set up a program for them. And with us, when students first start to work with us in the center, we require that parents sit in with us the first 4 hours of sessions because we're going to train them. And we want them to know how to work with their child. And it's kind of nice because we can not only just educationally, but sometimes how to handle them behaviorally too, right? Like how to get them motivated and encouraged to do what we want them to do. And so parents do learn a lot with us. And then that's nice because they can take that and continue that on with their other children that they're typically homeschooling as well. But so especially with reading, if their child's below in reading, we can kind of replace their reading program for a while and they can go through and use our materials and we're overseeing them and helping them. I can do the evaluations. Students at the end of the year need to prove that they've progressed. And so that's something that I can track for families as well. So there's a couple ways. Sometimes just talking parents through, like, what's the best program to help your child? I'm really blessed having all of that experience with homeschooling families over the years. So that's how I learn so much. You know, when you come in to talk to me, usually I've had a parent that's come in and talked to me about something. And then I'm like, oh, I need to research that. And so you continue on. And I can add that to our tool chest, you know, of things that I can pull out and use with other families. And so it's a nice kind of resource for families to have at times.
Well, and as opposed to some groups or, you know, some schools where, you know, it's one size fits all. I mean, you really looks like it sounds like I bring my child in and whatever the issue is, you're taking it from there.
We try. So sometimes there are students that we're not able, if behavior is a really severe issue, if I think the behavior is because they're just overwhelmed and really shut down because mm-hmm. learning's been hard, well, that's going to be different because we're going to meet them right where they are academically and help them get through that. And so I feel like we're good at that, those types of behaviors we're really good at. It's the ones that there's more going on, more mental, you know, emotional types of things. Those might not be the students that we're best able to help. And that breaks my heart because I really want to help everybody. But understanding like that sometimes that's just not an area that we can do. Because our big focus is the learning. But sometimes the behavior gets, and like the anxiety, you know, we're really good at helping students work through and talking them through. And it's not it's not a stigma at my school. It's nothing for someone to say, I'm feeling really anxious today. And the other students go, yeah, me too. Or I was like that before. And there's just this sense of community and encouragement that it's really awesome. And they all know, like, yeah, I come here because attention's hard for me. Or I come here because reading. And they, all right, but we're working on it. And they just kind of have this. It's a really neat, our awards ceremony at the end of the year is so much fun to watch them just like celebrate each other because they all know, like they've all been kind of walking through it with them. So that is a really, to me, like that is one of the best things.
LearningEnhancementCenters.com. Christina Carson here this morning. We're talking Learning Enhancement Centers and the Marshall School. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Christina Carson here this morning. Learning Enhancement Centers and the Marshall Center are focused this morning. And I guess we mentioned at the beginning, Christina, that if this is the time of year. If a parent's looking at things and wondering, what am I going to do this fall? I don't want to go through the same things I did last year. Maybe you give and maybe you give learning enhancement centers a sit down with you and talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a I usually tell parents to email me through the website. That's the easiest way. I run the tutoring center and then the school as well. So basically two businesses. So sometimes I'm busy. But if you email, then that usually gives me a chance to reply or set a time to call and speak with families. It's always a good time, even during the school year. School year can be a little tougher on the tutoring side because now, like I mentioned, that one student, they're typically trying to keep up with all their schoolwork plus us.
Yeah.
So I love the summertime. Most tutoring centers, it's not a busy time for them. But because of our specialized way of doing things, the summer is one of our busiest times because we can really work and focus with that student on all those underlying issues with when we're not competing with their school time.
So. Sounds like you've got a fantastic staff that has bought into this and sees that what you're doing works.
Yes, I really have the most unbelievably great staff, and it's always been that way. Like, in even when staff leaves and goes, a number of them go, you know, into not the school staff. Well, sometimes a lot of my tutors are also still teachers. And so, you know, as they've left and gone back, it's neat to watch how many of them have gotten Teacher of the Year in their school after, you know, it's kind of a pride for me.
Sure.
Or like ones that are principals and I have a couple that I have one that is supervisor of special ed for a while in one of the area counties, like one. And it's pretty cool to watch and think that I got to play a part in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as we have talked, I mean, there's just it's got to give it for parents to talk to you or to see the system you have in place and compare it to maybe what they're dealing with in their school. Mm-hmm. Because in some ways, sometimes I guess you would a lot of parents would just think, you know, this is what they're telling me and this doesn't seem right. But what else would I do?
Well, and most parents aren't. Most parents aren't educators, and even educators, you would be amazed at how often I will end up with a teacher's child and the center, and even they didn't know, you know, because that's what I'm telling you. We're not taught that. We're literally not taught that. We're taught about processing issues. We're taught, but even when I went through school, we were taught to look at, okay, so then how do you modify for this? You know, how do we accommodate for this? I was never taught, and I literally don't think it's still being taught that we can go back and correct those areas and make it better. And I think some people are, it really truly is like there's something more going on, and those kids are hard, but the majority of them, it's, you can pinpoint it. It is this, strengthen this, this gets better. And so, you know, that part makes sense to me. And I just feel like parents, you just usually don't even know where to go or what you should be looking for.
LearningEnhancementCenters.com is the website. Just, it has all the information of how to get a hold of you, and, just go there and, you know, I think you'll be surprised at just the passion and the programs that you have.
Thank you.
Christina, we've got to do this again soon.
I'd love to. Yep.
Thank you. And I wasn't kidding when I said there needs to be a book and a movie. This is great stuff. Thanks, Christina. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.